Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
So much is going on in the kingdom of God, so many good things, great worship. And I say applaud and celebrate the worship and the leading of the Holy Spirit for those who lead our worship, because the title of my message this morning is The Glory is Here. The glory is here. And I stand by that. But as I was worshiping over there, I felt like that the Holy Spirit gave me a word for someone. I don't know who this is for. But most of you know that my favorite psalm is 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like the dreamers, and our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing, and even the heathen that saw it said the Lord must have done a great thing for them. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, saying that there is someone in this building today, maybe more than one someone, that you feel like you're in bondage, you feel like you're in captivity, sometimes maybe even in your own home or situation. But it's going to be just like Peter, when the angel of the Lord, the angel who is the Lord, came and just gently tapped him and said, get up, it's time to arise, which that word meant resurrection. It's time for you to raise up and be resurrected. And the chains just fell off of him. And he was brought out of that captivity. Someone is under captivity. It feels like they're in a prison, and God's going to bring you out, and you're going to be free to be one of those dreamers once again. So that's for someone today. But we're going to get right in the message this morning. This is a very powerful message, but you need to really, really consider this morning. We're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. The glory is here. Many people today live without hope. It seems like they just roll with the punches. They take one hard thing after another, and they feel hopeless. And I had such a revelation of the Holy Spirit, because although we want to tell everyone that there is hope, that's not exactly the truth at all, because hope has a name, Jesus. And without Jesus, without God, the Lord, we don't really have hope, do we? We're actually the most hopeless people of all. So don't go around telling people there's hope, there's hope. There's only hope in Jesus. Without Jesus, you actually do not have hope. No hope of heaven, no hope of getting ahead in life, no hope of a miracle. Pastor Ken, were you going to play? He was going to play, I think, at points when we're sharing. Sure. No hope of getting ahead, no hope of a miracle. Without him, we're hope. There's another thing. We're also helpless. How many of you have ever felt hopeless and you felt helpless, like there was no help in your situation? And people feel helpless because they don't have the Holy Spirit, because he's the helper. There's no help except from the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to read to you Romans 15 and 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Note the word fill. As you trust in him that you may overflow. Note the word overflowing. With hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope and help only come from the Holy Spirit. There's no real hope in the world. There's no real hope. You can't go to your neighbor. The only real hope and help are the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that Abraham believed in hope against hope. What that means is he had hope when there was no hope, because he had God. You'll have hope when there is no hope if you have God. And the reason people struggle today as believers, as children of the King, is because they are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you can argue with me. And some of you are going to say to me, Pastor Pam, in 1979, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, you don't say. You don't say. 1979, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's like saying I drank a glass of water in 1965. It doesn't work that way, my friend. I had a meal in 1985, but today I'm spiritually anorexic. I'm no longer filled. I'm dry. I was telling Pastor Ken that the Bible says that he instructs us to be filled. That doesn't mean get filled. That means stay filled, remain filled. And there are two things in life that I was sharing with him, I said, that I absolutely cannot have in my life. And I'm going to say this. Regret is one of them. And dry Christianity is the other. There are two things I will not tolerate in my own life. I do not want to get to the end of my life and say, I regret. I didn't do this. I should have. I could have. I was supposed to, and I didn't do it. And I don't want a dry Christianity. It's the worst. Let me give you my testimony. I remember my dad used to stand in this spot, and he used to talk about revival, and he used to talk about worship. And I'm going to confess something to you. Those services were so dry to me because I was dry. The services were not dry, actually. You get that, right? I was dry. Dry Christianity. And they literally seemed to last forever. I kid you not. When I was younger and dry, they lasted forever. And I used to sit over there and I used to pray, Dear God, don't let Dad give an altar call. I'm begging you. That's the only prayer I prayed, by the way. Don't let Dad give an altar call. We stay long enough. These are saved people you're talking to, buddy. You know, you don't have to give an altar call. And then Dad would get up here and say, Is there anyone who needs anything from God? And I would think, Oh, you've got to be kidding. Because there was this one guy who would come up here every single time to get saved. And I thought, so I got to stay here another 20 minutes while he gets saved for the millionth time. For the millionth time, he's getting saved again. And I am sitting over here. I need to go home for what? I don't really know. But that was not Dad's problem. It was my problem. It wasn't God's problem. It was my problem because I had zero relationship with the Lord. I had a better relationship with the wooden pew than I had with the Lord. But God wants relationship, not religion, my friends, not just to come to church. He wants relationship. Our first love has to be God. He will be first or he will be nothing at all. Our first time should be giving to God in the morning. Our first finances, the first person we go to should be God. However, do you know, you may not know this, I may be telling some of you this for the first time. In order to truly love God, we need help from the Holy Spirit. You can't love God on your own. Shock, right? You need the Holy Spirit in order to love God. But let me tell you about the disciples because the glory is here. The Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. If you're a dry Christian today, if you're bored, if you barely drag yourself in here, let me tell you about the disciples of Jesus Christ. They were just like you were. They followed Jesus, okay? They began, but here's the thing. They were just followers. They were just going around listening to a man who taught some great things. But they even seen some marvelous miracles. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to change them. They just were followers. I'm following someone, but I'm not like them. I'm just following them around. And I see some miracles, and I like seeing miracles. That's kind of cool. But it didn't change me in my heart. But one day they all got together at the command of Jesus. And they knew they were going to need help because their Jesus was going. And he said the Holy Spirit will come. And he'll give you power. He'll give you the strength to carry on. And he'll be your counselor and he'll be your helper. And speaking with other tongues. And when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, they turned the world upside down because they were no longer followers of Christ. They were performing the miracles because Christ dwelled in them, through the Holy Spirit. And it completely turned the world upside down. One person with the power of the Holy Spirit working in them and through them can change the world. Tomorrow, we're about to celebrate Martin Luther King Day, a man with passion for God, a man who had the greatest love in his heart by the Holy Spirit. But one thing helped him do what he did, and he changed this world, and that was the Holy Spirit. The last speech, or call it sermon if you want, was preached the night before his death, April 3rd, was at Mason Temple in Memphis, Tennessee, and here was the text. Joel 2 and 28, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, not might. They will prophesy when the Spirit's poured out on you my friend, you will prophesy. And your old men will dream. You will start to dream when you have the Holy Spirit. You'll dream. And your young men, you will see visions, because you can't just believe and think it's okay without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can say to you, and you will believe me on this, the devil tried to take you out last year in 2002. I was sitting and thinking over there a while ago the things that God had done for me in 2022, and I can tell you that he meant to take not just me out, he meant to take my daughter out. You remember Sandra being sick for months and months and losing weight and couldn't get it. We couldn't even find out what was wrong with her. All it was the devil trying to take her out. But I want to say something to you, and here you are because God brought you through. The devil meant to take you out, but God has plans to bring you out. Bring you out of your captivity. Bring you out of the hard place that you're in right now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring you out of addiction. Bring you out of fear. Bring you out of hopelessness, because God has big plans for you. And I want to tell you that I believe you're here for the right reason. I really do. And I shared this Monday night because it's on my heart. I don't believe you're here because you want more from God. I believe you're here because you want more of God. You don't want more. It's so many people, they just want from God, but they don't want God himself. They want actually less of God, but more of the benefits of God, and it does not work that way. If we don't want to love and honor him and obey him, do you know that God's promises are not unconditional? You can't just tell somebody, but you can have the promise of God if they're disobedient or if they only believe in part. But I want to tell you, there was a time in the Word of God, and I'm going to be sharing real quickly from the book of Haggai, and the people of God had been in captivity for a long time. They were in Babylon. There were thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of them in Babylon in captivity. But here's the thing, Babylon was friendly captivity. That means there were thousands and thousands out there in the world, right? And they were enjoying the comforts of the world. They were enjoying the gold of the world and the entertainment of the world in Babylon. So when it got time to go back to Jerusalem to God and rebuild, they didn't want to go. But 60,000 of them went, and God called those people the remnant. So I'm going to read to you from Haggai in the seventh month. God is very specific with prophesies. If God gives you a prophecy, write it down. In the seventh month, in the year of King Darius, in the 1 20th day of the month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Hosedech, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. I want to say to you that you're the remnant. You're what's left. When everybody else, the church, went out into the world and they didn't come back, and some didn't come back after COVID at all, but you're the remnant that has come back to rebuild, and God has a word for you today. We are the leftovers, and God can use the leftovers and make something, create. How many of you have ever used leftovers and you created something even better than the first meal? And because it's marinated, God can do a lot with the remnant that's left behind, because those are the people that want more of God, not just more from God. And so here's what happened. It says, here's what God said, and it seems like a very sad thing. He said, ask them what? Who is left among you who saw this house in her first glory? It means in her finest glory. And how do you see it now? What do you think about it all now, people? Look around you. Doesn't it seem like now that this church seems like, in comparison to back then, like nothing? Doesn't that seem like a sad message? Because you remember the glory days. Let me tell you something. Be careful about looking in the past and going, oh, it was so good back then. Sometimes there was some good. I will give you that. But everything wasn't good. The good old days were not that good, okay? But he's telling them, remember. But I want you to remember the good times, the glory of that house. But here's what he says. But be strong now. It doesn't matter what happened back then. God says, be strong now, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua, son of Hosedech. Be strong, all you people of the land. The Lord says, work. Start working, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. If you're here today, you're the remnant. And there are some people that are old enough, even this building, that you can remember times of great revival. You can remember how the glory of the Lord came down. But I'm here to tell you the glory is here. I'm here to tell you it did not be done away with. The glory is here. And Haggai's not just making statements. He's asking questions that the Lord's asking. Do you remember? I know you do remember. I know that what God did once, that he can do again. And I want to challenge you with this word. The Bible says the word of the Lord came through Haggai. Somebody has to tell you that the glory is here, that God uses people to teach us, to train us, to speak the truth to us. Not long ago, I had two different people tell me the truth. And I said, it is very hard for me to do. I want to tell you the truth. I wish I could talk to you like I would my brother. I wish I could tell you exactly the truth. And at least one of those persons said, go ahead and tell me that truth. And we need to hear the hard truth. We need the Holy Spirit. And God reminds Haggai the glory of the old days. And it just seems so sad, because when we look back, if you were looking back, even in this church or any other church, you could remember the good old days when you were young, right? And when revival was just at an all-time high, and we came to church every night, and you danced, and you sang, and look around, and today here you sit, and your life is hard, and you've got troubles, and you've got problems, and you tend to look back and think, oh God, why can't it be what it used to be? But let me tell you, God doesn't give a sad message, does he? He has only good news, and here's the good news. It's verse 6. And this is what it said. This is what the Lord said. I know you remember the good old days. He wasn't just asking them, do you remember? He knew what they were thinking. God doesn't ask a question because he don't have information. He knew they were longing for the good old days. But here's what the Lord says. And this really blessed me when I was studying this. Verse 6 says, for this is what the Lord of hosts would say to you. Yet once. I did it once, in a little while, in just a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. I believe the heavens are being shaken, and the sea and the dry land. In these last days, do you know there are signs and wonders in the heavens? The heavens are being shaken. Did you know that? Did you know the earth is being shaken up, that there's volcanoes happening? The earth is being shaken, and the dry land. And in a little while, he said, I will shake the nations. Nations are being shaken up today. And the desire, and by the way, this is also messianic prophecy, and the desire of all nations shall come. But here's the part that I love. And I will fill this house. I'm going to fill this house as God's house. And the glory with the glory, says the Lord of hosts. This is where we're supposed to stand and shout, I'm going to fill this house. And here's something he says that was interesting. He said, the silver and gold are mine. Why did God, in the middle of all this, say, and by the way, the silver and gold are mine? He said that because we get interested in the silver and gold. Because that temple built back then, they were looking back saying, the wash basins were filled with gold. The tongs that they put the coal from the altar was also filled. It was made of gold, everything. And they were looking back and to the gold. And so he said, and by the way, the silver and gold are mine to do with as I please. And he said, the glory, I just want to tell you something. Get your eyes off the silver and gold because they belong to me. Here's what he said. Verse 9. The glory of this latter house, this house today, that you see here today, he said, will be greater than the former house, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give you peace. Now, let me give you a translation for the word peace, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken is what peace means. I will give you peace, and it's going to be greater. Here's what God is saying in my words. You ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen nothing yet. You look around and you see the past, and then you think, well, look at how it is today. Stop all of that. Stop looking at the gold and silver. Stop looking at the past. Trust in God that the glory is here. Not that it's coming, that it's here. That God wants to do a new thing. His word is always fresh manna. He wants to fill this house, not with people. You know, we look around at church, don't we? And we look around and we see, why, God, aren't you filling this place with people? But the Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday. And he said, I'm not interested in filling this house with people. I'm interested in filling this house with my presence. With my presence, not with people. Get your eyes off of people. My presence will dwell in my house. I want to fill you first, not bring other people in, because they don't want dry Christianity. They don't want regret and dry Christianity. God says, in the middle of that, he's shaking the atmosphere. He's trying to wake us up, because that's what God had to do for Peter. Remember Peter? I started out with Peter. When Peter, he was a disciple of Christ, and he was put in prison. And let me tell you, you know, he was asleep in prison. I love this, by the way. Here's Peter in prison asleep, and I couldn't have slept. And here's why I couldn't sleep in prison, because they had just killed James by the sword, and he was supposed to be brought to trial. So I wouldn't have, but he was asleep. And how do you know he was asleep? Because God had to come and smote him on the side and say, get up and wake up. And I believe that's what God wants to do for us. He wants to wake us up. And when we get up, he said something to Peter. He said, I want you to arise. I want you to arise. And in that text, arise, it means be resurrected. I want you to come back to life, Peter. I want you to start all over again. I want you to be resurrected. He brought him back to life. He stood to his feet. And when he was obedient, I want you to get the word obedient, to do what God said, to rise up, not stand up on your feet, but rise up in your spirit, the chains fell off. And it was so weird, because Peter himself thought, this just can't be happening. This is a vision. I'm having a vision or a dream here. But it wasn't a vision or a dream. Sometimes when the chains come off, you don't even realize how free you really are in Christ Jesus. You don't realize that you're free to walk away. I was telling my brother and my mom a story of where I had met with two people one time, and they were just, I mean, it was a horrible meeting. These were two people, I never got a word in edgewise. They were just berating me and putting down the church and saying how awful my brother was, how awful we were, how the church, everything was done wrong. And I stayed for about 2.5 hours. We were at this, well, you know, Portillo's, and how they have those revolving doors. And I was saying to my brother, and I had told my mother the story, I said, you know, it wasn't their problem, it was my problem. Why didn't I get myself up and go through those little swinging doors there and get myself out of there? Because I was free. I didn't know I was free. I thought I was trapped in this meeting, but I am free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the chains have come off, and you can walk out, because God wants to bring you out. The devil can't take you out, because God wants to bring you out. And I can tell you that I believe that in your heart there is a burning. Because here's what happened in with Zerubbabel and with Joshua. God stirred their hearts. And I know that for me, God is stirring my heart. He is just stirring my heart inside. Because I know that God wants to do more. And that we would see signs and wonders. And we would begin to pray. And that God would shake us first. And that God would fill us first. And I put on the screen and one of the things that we passed by that point on the bullets up here, you've probably seen it. We cannot mourn the past, whether it was good or bad. It doesn't matter if your past was the best. Don't tell me, oh, how, I don't want to sit home and think about, oh, how I rode the rides at Kittyland years ago. That's not help me today. I need something that's good for today. I need the Lord to fill me up. I need the presence of God to fill me. And you know, they made a decision to continue to work, to keep going, to be strong. And I kept thinking over and over. And one of the things that sometimes you have to, it was really kind of cool in the Peter story, after Peter got the chains came off, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit is something else. And God does miracles and signs and wonders, but he wants to do the same thing. I thought of how Peter, when they got to the gate, they walked right through the iron gate. And I was thinking of the iron gate out here, how many times I've tried to open the iron gate. The neighbors probably got video of me out there trying to open the iron gate. I can't do it. I can't hardly do it. I mean, Barney came over and helped me one time. I was just pushing the gate, and I got my foot against the gate, and I got my whole strength, and I couldn't open the iron gate. And we can't take the iron chains off ourselves. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that causes those chains to drop. Those chains are going to fall off when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what I believe. And you can say I'm crazy if you want to, but I don't think that having a glass of water in 1960 is going to help me. I think we need to be filled today. And my message for this year of 20 and 23, this is my message, is to keep going. My message is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to work. But I'm going to close with this thought, and we're going to have our praise team up here, and we're going to sing a couple songs if Willie can get that together while I'm saying this. But I want to tell you a couple things. I want to tell you that God loves His church. I want to tell you that you need to be in church. I want to tell you the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as some are in the habit of doing. Habit means addiction. Did you know that they call it a habit when you're addicted? You got a habit. And I want to tell you a story. I knew of a girl. Some of you would know who this was when I'm speaking here, but I knew of a girl who was praying for her child. She was praying earnestly for her child on a Sunday morning at this church. What she didn't know is there was something horrible going on at home with that child while she was at church praying. Watch this, God saved her child. Saved her child from sex trafficking. Watch this. While she was in God's house, God was over at her house, healing her house and fixing things in order. If you do what God tells you and are obedient to God, you go to His house, He'll come to your house. You do not underestimate the power of the church and the prayers of the church. And let me tell you why. One of the things in that passage that it talks about Peter, it said, and I believe the reason Peter got free, the Bible says, but the church was praying for him earnestly. What if we were to pray for those that are in captivity? What if we were to pray for those that are in bondage? Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're filled with holy fire, the holy fire of God, and begin to tell everybody we know about Jesus. Walk up to people. Tell them, do you know Jesus? Has anyone ever told you about Jesus? Would you like to hear about Jesus? Maribel, you said it. Everywhere. They offered Maribel to work at home. Wasn't it on cold days or something, Maribel? She could work at home. She said no, because I go to people and hand them tracts and tell them about Jesus. She's willing to go out in the cold and not work at home in the comfort of her home, because the people are out there on the streets and they're hurting and they're broken and they're dying. And one of the quotes I heard, which I think was just unreal, was how much, and this hit me so hard, how much do you have to hate people to not tell them about Jesus and what God has done in your life? I am done with dry Christianity, and I don't want to live with any regret that I once, the saddest three people in the Bible, number one, Judas. Here he sits, and on that night was offered the first sop, which history tells us whoever got the first portion was the honored guest. God honored him. God loved him. He walks to the garden, and Jesus walks over and says, hey, friend. Jesus was his friend when he wasn't his friend. Felix. Unreal. How can you walk away? Agrippa. I was so close. People who have been so close and who have known the Lord and walked away, regret. That's the worst feeling you can possibly have, is regret. The second is dry Christianity. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship. Father God, I just ask you in Jesus' name, the glory is here. You can stand. The glory is here. Father, your presence is here in this place. Holy Spirit, you are here by invitation. We will not ask you to leave. We will not ask you to silence yourself. We ask that you would fill us to overflowing. Father God, even to the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I know that that always isn't instant. Sometimes it is, sometimes it is not. It was not for me. I asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I got filled in a grocery store. I got filled in a grocery store to the embarrassment of my daughter, Candy Beth. I got filled in the grocery store. God, wherever your people go, I ask the Holy Spirit, the hound of heaven, to pursue them, to go after them, Lord, to change their hearts as they begin this new year, and to help them, fill me, fill Pastor Ken, fill Debbie, fill Alan, fill Gio, fill Dave, fill every person in this building with your Holy Spirit to overflowing, that we might have the help we need and the hope of eternity. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.